Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
David Goldich is joining us. He is the author of a new book called Win-Win, An Everyday Guide to Negotiating. David, welcome to Weekend Mornings. It's a challenge. Not everybody views negotiating as a win-win proposition. We can see in our current daily life in the news media, some people negotiate very much with a win-lose attitude. How do you, first of all, is that accurate? And secondly, if it is, how do you get around that if you're a person that wants to have a more positive outcome?
Okay, well, that is completely accurate, and it happens at the highest levels, even places where you wouldn't expect it. I think you know what I mean. I won't say it out loud. I've lost a lot of friends already. But there is an approach, a mindset to getting the win-win. And it really came into being about 40 years ago, right about 1980, and it came out of Harvard and called the Principled Negotiation Approach. And the idea is, instead of having two people, each with their own agenda, each trying to solve their own problem independently, make it one problem with two mindsets, two viewpoints, and you collaborate to try to get a solution that's acceptable to both of us.
That
because
sounds
it
interesting.
Has to
give
be
us,
accepted.
Give, yeah, yeah, give us an example. What would that look like and sound like in real life?
Okay. In real life, typically, you want to get what you want. And you may not care so much about what the other guy wants. And he probably thinks the same thing. I'd be surprised if he didn't. Now, this means you're going to be hiding information. You may even be giving misinformation to get the guy off track. People have this idea that if I keep my cards close to my chest, I have an advantage. But how can they help you solve your problem if they don't understand what it is, and vice versa?
And when you look at the different strategies, are there different ways of getting to that win-win, are there different approaches, or is there one basic strategy that, that people should or could take?
Actually, there's a template that I teach. It's got 8 steps. It's based on the Harvard approach. I've modified it a bit. The key is to understand that what you say you want may not be what you really want. For example, if you want a raise, you think you need money. And you may not see any other possibility. Your boss may not be in a position to give you a raise for various reasons. But what if he can give you a company car? What if he can put you on a better insurance plan? What if he can give you other benefits that are not a raise but can still help you accomplish your objective of maintaining your lifestyle?
Okay, so we have to think a little bit more laterally, I guess, sometimes. If give us an example of can you quickly run us through those 8 steps, what those look like?
I don't think we could do that all in one day. I can talk about a couple of them.
Give us maybe the top three. How's
okay.
that?
Top three. Okay, first of all, you want to understand what are the currencies? What do you have that's of value to the other side? And what do they have that you would like to have? They may not even know what you want. And a lot of these are intangible. It could be emotional or ego needs. It's not just money or more of the product or service that you're talking about. So understand the currencies. Second, you need a plan B, a backup plan, because if I can't reach an agreement with you, I still have to solve my problem somewhere else. And maybe you
right.
do too.
Right.
You probably wouldn't even ask for a raise if you didn't have another offer already, right? It's a very difficult situation. But if you have an offer, if you know what you've got somewhere else, then you know you're going to get at least that much in this negotiation, and that gives you a lot of confidence. And the third thing I would say is confidence. Just believe in yourself. If you're prepared, and really negotiations are won in the war room or the situation room, not in the boardroom. It's about planning. And when you're planned and prepared, you study the situation, then you're a lot more confident and you're more likely to get a better result.
Talking with David Goldich, the author of Win-Win, An Everyday Guide to Negotiating. I thought that you made an interesting point there, which is we often try to look at the currency we have. How high is our own personal stock level, if you will? What do we have to trade or bargain with? And do people take enough time to look at their own or evaluate their own kit of things that they have that are valuable in a negotiating process. For example, you know, the fact you've been a good employee all your life, you know a lot about the company, you've maybe had good success with clients, maybe not awesome, but you know, it's cheaper to keep you in the job and upgrade you versus bringing in somebody new, you know, things like that. Do we take enough time to evaluate what our own strengths are?
Most people don't. They think about what do I want, and they don't really think beyond that. They don't look for unusual possibilities. And sometimes they're obvious. Sometimes they're not. You just have to be open to see them. I'll tell you a funny story. This happened years ago. I was at a Cheap Trick concert.
Oh.
And the guitar player.
That was quite
has
a few years ago.
Throwing, yeah.
Good
and the guitar player has a habit of throwing picks out into the audience as he's playing.
Okay.
And I didn't get one. I wanted one. After the show, I went up to the stage looking for one. I talked to one of the roadies and I said, "Do you have any more picks?" He said, "Sorry, dude, they're all gone." And he's coughing his lungs out. So now I've got information. He needs something. And I had a pocket full of cough drops and I thought, this guy might need this. And so I made the offer. He went and found me a pick. And I got what I wanted for very little value because I had plenty of cough drops at home.
Yeah.
And he got just what he wanted, and it wasn't even his pick. It was somebody else's. He stole it.
Isn't that funny? Oh, my gosh. Pocket full of cough drops. Always have one. That's your hack for the day.
Yep.
David, when we look at the other side, the corporate side, whether it's a product or whether it's a service, is there a difference in the way we need to think about how we structure our negotiating? Are there differences in the way that that's done?
Pretty much not. Every industry has their own practices and courses of dealing. So there are some differences that are specific to your industry or maybe even to the particular subject of the negotiation. Certain products are treated differently. But most of the principles are applicable across the board. You can use them with your kids, with colleagues internally, with competitors, with clients, and pretty much any situation.
Has there been – you mentioned the Harvard article that came out years ago now. And we know that there are different negotiating styles. People get to the end of the road
right.
Different ways. Are we seeing more of a move, though, toward people generally trying to find the win-win? Or is that still, you know, still not necessarily what all people want to – how all people want to end the negotiation? Is there a common belief structure around that? Let's put it that way.
We're getting there. The problem is most people learn to negotiate from their boss on the job, who learned from her boss back to the age of the dinosaurs, even though, you know, 40 years ago, things changed. Now we're starting to get a lot of awareness because you want to have the same relationships. It's hard to burn your bridges and find a new client when you can maintain that same relationship and do more business with that client. Even banks now, you know, the banks, if you want to waive your fee, they'll let you do it without a problem because they value your business. It costs them a lot of money to replace you. So the need is apparent, but the techniques are not really that widely understood yet.
Has this changed when we think of a B2C relationship, business to consumer, business to customer? Has this changed over the years? Because as you know, many businesses are more evolved now in thinking, as you just mentioned, it's easier to keep a customer happy and give them a little something in a negotiation process
right.
than it is to go out and get a new customer, right? By a factor of what, X, you know, three or four to bring out onboard a new customer. Has this
right.
mindset changed from businesses as well to make it easier for individuals to negotiate with maybe their suppliers or their airline or whoever it is they do business with?
Well, if you think about it, there's usually a way. That's one of the lessons I learned early on in my law career. There's a legal, moral, ethical way to do almost anything you want. You just have to find it. That's the hard part. I think consumers may not be as savvy as businesses, so they may not be aware. And there's also this misperception that people want to negotiate with somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. Which is not a good idea. I'd rather negotiate with a very sharp negotiator because they get it and they understand how it works. Somebody who's not that knowledgeable, who's not that experienced, may have a lot of mental blocks and biases that prevent them from reaching a good outcome.
Right. Talking with David Goldwich, the author of Win-Win, An Everyday Guide to Negotiating. Most people that might be listening to this, it would probably be their concern around negotiating on a personal level would be usually around salary or perks of the job. Maybe it's holiday. They want certain vacation days, things like that. These are very, very personal issues. How do we keep emotion out of our negotiating? How do we keep it factual? How do we keep it from devolving into an emotional argument, which often those go the wrong way very quickly?
Well, emotion is often involved. It's not as primary as a lot of people think, although in certain cases it does. And it's hard. Really, it's about understanding what you want and approaching it from a business perspective, understanding that you're not going to get everything you want probably without getting the other guy to be happy with what he gets.
Yeah.
The win-win is not just a good deal. It's about maximizing and optimizing the best possible deal for that situation.
When you look at your book, this Everyday Guide to Negotiating, is it only or best suited for the business world, or can you use it in personal relationships as well? Because we all have to do that. We all negotiate in
right.
many different ways in our own personal lives.
Mm-hmm.
Can the tips and the strategies you give in the book, are they useful for that?
Absolutely. A lot of people negotiate small things. They don't. Only very few people do the big deals. The principles are the same, but a lot of people don't realize that they're in a negotiation, even though they may be just in an everyday conversation.
Very interesting. David, if people want to get more information about this topic of negotiating to a win-win, to look for your book, how do they find you?
Well, you can find me at my website, david@davidgoldwich.com. And the book should be coming into bookstores fairly soon. It's available through Marshall Cavendish. You can go to the website and find it too.
David Goldwich, author of Win-Win, An Everyday Guide to Negotiating. Thanks so much for being with us on Money FM today.
Thank you, Glenn.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.